are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Ever feel like you are just measuring up? You are not measuring up, by the way. Well, it's time to ditch those doubts and embrace who you really are, according to the ultimate source of truth. The Bible doesn't just tell us we're good enough. It shows us we are priceless. Born now, we are priceless, handcrafted by God himself. Forget what the world says about your worth. Let's dive into what really counts and discover the identity that's been waiting for you all along. I'm joined on the line by Sister Cleo Shabalala, who's going to be helping us to speak about all things our worth and identity. Sister Cleo, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Z. How are you?
I am good, and you? I'm so glad to be chatting to you about this topic specifically. I don't know why.
yeah. it's a very nice topic, I must say. Something that we kind of struggle with here and there. We can be taking at times when it relates to this matter, especially, you know. But yeah, it's a very nice topic. Good speaking choice.
Thank you. This is the clue. But before we get into that, I'm going to ask that, can you please offer a word of prayer?
All right. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this time of fellowship this morning. We come before your throne asking that you may please be with us, Lord, as we are about to start. May you please engrave this word in our heart, O Lord. Help us to learn of you and to understand what it is that you want from us, and help us to do your will in all the days of our lives. We ask all of this in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. All things, our identity and our self-worth. When we study the Bible, Sister Cleo, do we learn anything? Do we find anything from the Bible about our identity and self-worth? And these teachings, if they are there, how can they now shape how we see ourselves as women?
There's a lot of them. You know, I feel like God knew that we would need this assurance every other day, every other moment, because, wow, there's a lot of things that are taking us daily, but God has a lot of this in his word. But I will just focus on three for the sake of time. I think the ones that really, really have helped me in my journey and have really spoken to me quite a lot of times is that the first one would be, I am God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Ephesians 2 verse 10. And for me, this speaks volumes, because it is a promise from God that assures me that our lives are not random or purposeless. He has mapped out a plan for each of us that is filled with hope. So when you are there feeling like, I think all of us reach this point in our lives where you're like, Kalahle, what am I doing here?
Yeah.
You know, like, what's the reason for me to be here? And then God says in his word that there is definitely a reason. Seek and you will find it, you know, because he says he has we are his handiwork.
Yeah.
And he prepared us in advance for a good work for us to do, you know. So there's definitely a reason for us to be here. And because of that, for that reason only, I already feel special. I already feel actually, there is no other Cleo. There is one thing that I can do in this world that no other person can do. And therefore, that already puts me at an advantage. That already puts me, makes me feel special, rather, you know, to say Zanele can be doing what she's doing, but I also have what I need to do, and nobody else can do it. You know, and therefore I need to seek that. I need to do that with diligence and excellence, you know, because nobody, if I don't do it, then the world will be at a disadvantage. And then the second one would be, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord.
Yes.
Plans to for you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Jeremiah 29 verse 11, you know, God assures us that our lives are not written. He also assures us that we are not purposeless. I think this one also just confirms to us that, you know, things may be happening to me. Like I was speaking to a friend yesterday and he was saying, what would you do if God just brought a man and he says, go and marry this man. You don't know him. They are from a different country. You've never met them. You know nothing about them. And you know how difficult it is today. Men are very weird. People in general are very weird. What would you do? And then God says, this is your man. And then would you, and you know that the Bible does not want us to fornicate. How would you confirm that you have emotional connection and whatnot? And I was just like, you know, I would first confirm with God if really this is your word and this really comes from you. And if God, like Gideon, confirms that it's me, go ahead. I would go ahead. Yeah. And precisely because of this verse, because I know the plans that he has for me, they will never be to harm me. And that is the type of trust that I have in God. That is the type of identity that I have in God to say, if you say it, I know I'm going to jump off that cliff. Because I know that you've promised in your word that you said you shall never let my foot dash against a stone. That is the type of identity we have in Christ.
Yeah.
That even when it looks blurry, but because you said it, God, I know that it will work out for my good. You know, you will never harm me. You have a hope and a future for my life. And the third one would be, don't be afraid. Okay. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Matthew 10:31. You know, this verse invites us to shed our fears and embrace the reality that we are deeply cherished and valued by God. Whenever you feel overlooked or forgotten, remember you are priceless in the eyes of the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, just know that there is honestly nothing that can harm me or anything that can be of disadvantage to me. I am a royal priesthood, a child of God. Even when these circumstances seem like they will swallow me, they will not. Because in this ship, I've got the greatest of them, the greatest man of all, who is Jesus Christ. Nothing is going to happen to me, you know. And that is the identity you have in Christ. Christ, even when you see other things falling, you just have faith that there shall be no loss. Everything can fall around me, every material thing can fall around me, but I will not die because I am a child of God. So that's the type of identity that we need to have.
Yeah,
you know. So yeah, I think those are the three that always encourage me.
Yes, yes. I love that. You know, so now when we understand what our identity is, Sister Cleo, you know, how can it now help us when it comes to combating our feelings of inadequacy and low self-esteem, you know? Because sometimes we look, I remember there was this other year where there was the whole uproar and whatever about, for example, these TV commercials that we are seeing, because the people there is like, they're all size 12, like size, no, size 6. They're all very, you know, and the issue of body shaming came up and everything else, because some of those things, they do get to people, you know. We do get very triggered and everything else. But if I know that, you know, I'm the apple of God's eye, as you have mentioned, you know, I'm a royal priesthood, how would that help me now deal with my low self-esteem, deal with the fact that, hey, I'm a little bit on the plus side, you know, of life?
Yeah, I think when I read this, I just remembered the story of the Israelites, that God gave them Canaan and said, this is yours, and led them to it. And, you know, when then they sent the spies to go and spy in the land. And then the report they came back and they gave was that we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight. You know, and we come across this a lot in our lives, where God is going to give you a promise and says, Zanele, this is yours, I've given you. But because you don't feel worthy, you don't feel like I'm good enough, you don't feel like you've worked hard enough for it.
Mm.
You are then like, just like the Israelites, I'm like a grasshopper. And it's not that the people will see you like a grasshopper. You see yourself first before the people see you, you know. And I was reminded of this, that, you know, it is in the mindset. It is all in the mind, in terms of, do you see yourself the way Christ sees you? You know, you need to renew your mind in terms of, go back to that verse. How does Christ see me? You know, if Christ has promised to give me, this blessing or this huge thing, and says, you are going to be the executive of this big company, and you feel like, oh my gosh, there's people who've been here more, who've worked hard for this, who've studied for this, and you are just like, I'm not worthy to be here. Who said? Who has told you? You need to ask yourself that question, like Eve, after they ate that fruit, Adam and even God asked them, who told you? So every time when that feeling comes to say, I know they are big, these people, and I'm small, I'm not going to be able to fit in, I'm not good enough, I have not done much work, ask yourself, who told you? Who brought you here in the first place?
Yep.
You know, so it's a consistent question that we constantly need to ask ourselves. Who told you that you're not good enough? Who told you that you cannot do it? Who told you that it is impossible? Then you go back to the word of God and you say, actually, what does the word of God say? The word of God says, I shall be blessed coming in and going out. You know? So we need to always anchor ourselves in the word of God. So, I think that is how we combat those feelings of inadequacy. You go back to the word of God.
Yes.
What does the word of God say about you? And you shut that thought down.
Let's look at how we go back to the word of God, Sister Leo, but how do we now, you know, practically remind ourselves, you know, of our worth and our identity in every situation? Is it now taking those scriptures like Jeremiah, where you write it out and paste it everywhere in your house? Is that when now you would have maybe one of those verses as a screensaver on your phone, that I must actually, like, you just look at your phone and you see the scripture? But how do we properly, practically remind ourselves that we are worthy, that we are beautiful, we are the apple of God's eye?
I think I've got about four ways that can be done, you know. I think we've already discussed the one of staying in scriptures, that you need to stay in. And the Bible tells us that we need to renew our mind daily. It is so important, Zanele, I think Philippians 4 verse 8 tells us, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Meditate. We need to constantly meditate. I think we've already delved on this a lot, that stay in the scriptures. Don't leave. Whatever you watch, whatever you read, whatever you listen, let it be about God.
Yeah.
Let it be about the word. And the second one would be, stay close to a friend.
Okay.
Stay close to a friend. Find a friend. On Tuesday, we were speaking about friendship and how important Christian friendships are. Find a friend that is equally yoked with you and stay close to that friend. They are going to keep you accountable. They are going to keep you on the path to Christ. They are going to tell you what to do, when to do it, and you are going to both be inspired by the Lord. Stay close to a friend. It's very important. We are not isolated beings. Friendship and relationships are important. The third one would be, stay alert. The Bible tells us that the devil is out there seeking someone he may devour.
Yes.
Stay alert to the wiles and the schemes of the devil. That guy has been here more than you have, thousands and thousands of years. He can be very deceitful. Be alert. How then do you become alert? You need to be alert by knowing who God is. You will know that you need to really be grounded in knowing that God would never come and act like this in my life. Yeah. You know who God is. Stay alert of the schemes and the wiles of the devil, and be sure to say, I see this looks scrumptious, or it looks nice and it looks like tempting, but would God really present it like this? How does it glorify God? Always ask yourself that question. You know, stay alert and know that He is always pursuing. He never stops. Every day when you wake up, He's already waiting for you. Stay alert, you know, and stay away from sin. I think that's not negotiable. I think the world today has made it so normal for certain things, like fornication, for instance. We've made it such a norm to say, I need to test the waters before I get into marriage, for instance. Or I need to, you know, such things. Stay away from sin, guys. That is the most practical ways I can make sure. Because the moment you are in sin, you've already opened up for the devil to come and be the Lord of your life. He's going to tell you how inadequate you are, how much of a that guy when they break your heart, how you don't deserve this, or you need to work harder to keep this man or whatever, because in the first place you never grounded yourself in Christ.
Okay.
Stay away from sin so that you can clearly hear the Lord. The moment you open yourself up to sin, you are already opening yourself up to the schemes of the devil. You are going to be clouded in how you think, and there's a lot that is just going to influence your thinking and your mind. So stay away from sin. So those are the four. Stay in scripture, stay close to a friend, stay alert, and stay away from sin.
Yes. Love that. So looking at, you know, because we're not living in islands, you know, we're living with people, we're living in communities. How can the church now, the church community, support individuals in building a strong, biblically based sense of self-worth?
I think this one, our church has done a lot to make sure that our minds are renewed and whatnot. But what I think one place that we still need to work on and improve on would be creating a safe space for individuals to be vulnerable.
Okay.
You know, it's important. I think we've created an environment in the church whereby, I don't know, we put on a facade that we are perfect human beings. Church is no longer a place for the brokenhearted, for people who are going through sin, people who need healing, who need advice. Instead, we come to church perfect, dressed up, looking all nice, and there's no space for making mistakes. And people are not able anymore to come and say, I'm struggling with this sin. I'm struggling. I'm being attacked by the spirit of homosexuality, for instance. I'm being attacked by, you know, we can't do that anymore, because you do that, you are frowned upon. You are made to seem to be weak. Let's create a safe environment for people to come and share what they are struggling with, so that we can then assist them and draw them closer to Christ.
So, as we wrap up, Sis Leo, how in what ways now can recognizing our identity in Christ impact our relationship and how we interact with others? I'm just thinking here, if I know that I'm God's apple, the ego, guys, because it could be positive and negative at the same time.
The balance, right?
Yeah.
So I think for me here, Matthew 22 verse 36 was the biggest one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself.
Okay.
You know, therefore, when we don't know who we are in Christ, there's a lot that can go wrong in how you view yourself and the world. Like you said, you will think that people are there to be used.
Yes.
You are better. You are, you know. But let's break that down. I think Miles Monroe puts this one very beautifully. And he says, we love when you know who you are in Christ, you learn to love the godly way, the right way. We get to learn that we don't need a reason to love anyone, because God himself never gives us a reason for loving us. You know, there's nowhere in the Bible where you find God telling us why he loves us. Because the moment there's a reason for loving us, it's no longer love, it's a condition.
Mm.
You know, and when you have a condition, there will be an expectation.
Yeah.
And then when there's an expectation, there will be a disappointment.
Yes.
And then when there's disappointment, it produces division. And we all know what division leads to. It leads to a divorce.
Mm.
And divorce leads to death of a relationship, leading to a dysfunctional family or relationships, which leads to a societal decay in society, leading to community destruction and ultimately leading to a national loss. So meaning that your private decisions in how you see yourself and how you interact with others becomes a national problem.
Mm.
So it's important to learn to know yourself, heal, learn, interact with others in a Christian way or in a Christly way. So, yeah, that is how it impacts our relationships. When you know who you are in God, you learn to love like God.
Yeah.
And when you learn to love like God, you become... You don't become a national problem. You don't create a national problem, but you become a value to the world, you know, and you serve the world, and you learn to become I don't know how to put it, but a solution to the world. So yeah, I think that's my parting shot.
Which one is a national problem now?
No, like I was breaking it down, right? Like I was breaking it down and I was saying, you know, our private decisions lead us to making, like as I was breaking it down, you know, the disappointments, you produce division, you know, your one decision, like it becomes a domino effect.
Mm-hmm.
One thing leads to another, another leads to another,
true.
And eventually impacts the entire world and the entire nation. But when you decide to do better in your own space, one day at a time, it also impacts the second person. It becomes a better place and a better environment. You may think that you doing better in your own space alone is not good enough, but it is. It makes a huge difference because you become kind. You create a safe space for other people, you know. So then you become a better person, inspiring others to become better people.
Mm.
So, and it becomes a better world.
A national treasure, not a national problem.
Yeah.
I learned something today. So in my next, some of them are listening. In my next message to the staff for AWR, I'm going to tell them, guys, do 1, 2, 3, 4. Don't become a national problem. Thank you.
Your decisions impact all of us.
Yes.
Impact all of us.
You know.
Yeah, do better.
I just love how you went to this. You script local, church, provincial. You went to this.
You know.
Hi, guys. Anyway. Thank you. Thank you for coming through, Sis Leo, you know, to speak to us about our identity, you know, and our self-worth. I'm going to ask that, can you please pray for our women, you know, so that, because life does... show us flames, hey? It does throw us lemons left, right, and center. And sometimes we may lose ourselves and succumb to situations. But if you can pray that, you know, even at those times, we may remember that we are God's children.
Okay. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this time of fellowship that you have given us. We come before your throne asking, oh Father God, that let this word that you have given to us this morning not fall on the wayside, but be engraved in our hearts and grow, Jehovah. And help us, oh Father God, to implement these things, for it is good for us to know you. And once we've known you, let us be transformed by your word so that we may do greater and more than what you did when you were here. So we ask, O Jehovah, that you may help us to be grounded in you more than anything. Let us, O Father God, know who we are in you, because when we know who we are in you, we can do better and we can do more of Father God in the world to make it a better place. We ask all of this in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Sister Cleo, thank you so much for coming through. May you have yourself a blessed day.
Amen. Bye.
Bye.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.